is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares my conversation with candidate for planning board, Jennifer Williams. This is one of a series of conversations with candidates for the Franklin local election on November 2nd, 2021. I do this to provide Franklin, Mass. Voters with accurate and timely information that they can use to cast an informed vote. Publication of the answers or interview responses does not constitute an endorsement of this or any other candidate. We cover the candidate questions as previously developed in conjunction with the community and shared in advance with the candidates. Five of the questions are general in nature. The sixth is specific to the role of the candidate, in this case, for the planning board. Our conversation runs about 20 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jennifer Williams. So Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 on the local Franklin area dial, here with another candidate interview, this time for the planning board with Jennifer Williams. Jennifer, good afternoon and thank you.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Again, for the listeners, if you're not aware, we're doing this in the run-up to the election for the town election, November 2nd, to give the voters as much information so that they can cast an informed ballot when they choose to do so, either in person, vote by mail, or in person when they go to the high school on November 2nd. So this is not an endorsement of any particular candidate. It doesn't matter what I think. It's getting your story out so the voters can listen and say, oh, yeah, okay, I know more about Jen. That makes sense. Good, good. And potentially even if you've got web page or contact info, we can include that in the show notes. So if they want to continue the conversation, follow up on a particular point, they can do so. All right. So the questions, and you did get them in advance, like as I've mentioned in the other interviews, and people will be aware, these questions came up through community input. I did reserve final edit authority on them. But briefly, let's start off with what's your Franklin story? Tell us about your life here, Jennifer.
Sure. My husband and I moved here in 2015. We bought our first ever home on McCarthy Street off of Union Street. And we chose to move to Franklin from Boston for multiple reasons. We were getting married, we wanted to start a family, and Franklin appealed to us for the same reasons it appeals to everyone listening, I'm sure. We think the school systems are terrific. I personally love sports and parks and open space. So the parks and rec system here is fantastic. Working in Boston, being able to commute from two train stations, but certainly from downtown, was appealing. And then the downtown itself and its walkability is certainly where we bought our first home, proved to be such a tremendous asset. And it's so much so that when we needed to expand and grow, you know, our home to match our growing family's needs, we only moved a mile down the road to the Hillside neighborhood right behind the town common. We now live on Queen Street in a house that I think many people are familiar with. And that way we can still walk to the train, walk to the common, and all the activities that happen there. We can hear the live music from our house, which is awesome. We walk to the library weekly with the kids and multiple playgrounds. So, you know, Franklin in and of itself was fantastic. And then my family lived nearby in Blackstone. I actually grew up in Blackstone. So coming back to this general area was key for us. And Franklin was the town that we chose in this region. And now I feel like I should get a finder's fee because now my dad lives here. My brother moved here. My sister moved here. So my family that used to live in Blackstone and Bellingham, they're slowly all trickling to Franklin. So it's just an amazing community.
And it's growing part of the family, literally. So.
Yes.
Definitely. So getting into the next question, participating in elections clearly is one of the key freedoms of American life, and voting is one of those primary responsibilities of us as citizens. While the law does not require citizens to vote, voting is a very important part of any democracy. What can you tell us about your own voting record? And if you've not been an active voter, please tell us why. And at least how important is it that we elect people who are active participants in the election process?
I think if personally, I voted in every election that I can recall, certainly since I've lived in town. I think I missed one election in 2017. And I remember I had to travel for work last minute. So there was not enough time to mail in a ballot or for that, unfortunately. But I voted even before I lived in Franklin in every election that I could. And I think it's really important if you're going to vote, you know, it's because hopefully you care about the future of a community, particularly in a town election, because those elected positions, those people in those positions are the ones who are making decisions that are going to impact everything that affects you on a daily basis. And so the only way to really make change or have a voice is, you know, it really does start at the polls. And so I think voting is super important. I would hope that the people, the candidates that are put in front of us are active voters. So that way they're sort of talking the talk and walking the walk. But all, you know, what I know is myself and how much I care about it. And I just hope the community feels the same way.
And moving to kind of the pandemic and the COVID world, have you been vaccinated for COVID-19? Do you think there should be a mask mandate for Franklin at some point? But finally, more importantly, the broad question really is, what measures should government take to protect the public from the virus? And how should these efforts be delineated between the local, state, and federal governments?
That's a loaded question.
Sorry. It's a mouthful too.
Yes, I've been vaccinated since the vaccine was first available. I'm fully vaccinated. I believe in whatever the medical experts say. I certainly am no medical expert myself, but I believe in science and listening to those experts, and am more than willing and to adhere to guidelines set forth from those professionals, whether federal mandate, state mandate, or even local mandate. I personally am happy to be a participant in whatever requirements are set forth. I know at this point, I am wearing a mask inside, particularly in tight quarters, because that's what the current CDC guidelines are. And I, on a personal level, you know, I have small children who can't choose to get vaccinated. I have an immunocompromised sibling. And so just for the good of not only myself, but more so the broader community, I just believe in doing whatever I can do to do my part to keep our community safe.
Yes, indeed. We concur on that because, in many places, even in some of the town buildings, particularly in some of the public meetings, I'll wear a mask because I've got immune compromised folks in the family, and heaven forbid, I'd be the one to bring it to them just when I'm trying to do my volunteer stuff. No way. I can't take that risk. And I understand the town buildings are cleaner than generally in other spaces, but there's no guarantee that everybody is vaccinated there. So I'm not going to take the risk. That's my choice. And Everybody has their choices. So that's fine. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So moving to the next question, what are the three most important actions you believe are needed to move Franklin forward?
First of all, I hope people vote. I think that's the number one most important action, is that people vote to make a difference. But if that doesn't count as one of my answers, hopefully. I think that we need to elect qualified professionals into our elected positions, to give a more well-rounded and future ready, if you will, perspective when it comes to decision making. In order to see change, I believe we need to change the makeup of our elected boards and groups whose votes really matter and impact our community, not just today, but for years to come. So I think it really starts with sort of getting the right folks at the table and hopefully improving the diversity of those groups of people, just to bring new ideas in order to move the town in the right direction. I think beyond that, maybe more specific to planning board in particular, you know, we need to, everyone talks about downtown, right? And revitalizing downtown. I think the planning board has a real opportunity to review current zoning bylaws, particularly in the downtown commercial and commercial one zoning districts, to improve or promote business through really thoughtful development that maybe reimagines derelict or unused buildings or unused open space, but not in a way that compromises the character of our downtown, of our neighborhoods, in a way that brings in residents and improves walkability, but is done not at the expense of anybody, any one person, any group of people, any other business in the near term. And we're really thinking about this from sort of a master plan and long-term perspective. So I believe that separate from individual projects and reviewing individual projects, there's really an opportunity to reevaluate the actual zoning bylaws that we currently have and think about what changes we may need to make to get to that downtown that we know we all currently love, but could love even more. And then lastly, maybe sort of related to that, our last master plan was done in 2013. Mm-hmm. And there are plans to start to mobilize to update the master plan by 2023, so 10 years, right? But it's already 2021. We know what the goals were from the 2013 master plan. There was a 2020 update to talk about what's been done really well so far and where we still see gaps. And we still see gaps in housing, mix of housing, affordability. We still see gaps in economic development. And I think that there's the opportunity to start to look at policies, look at regulations, look at the housing production plan, look at zoning bylaws and the way that they impact these pieces of the master plan and the goals that were set forth in 2013 to see where improvements could be made or how we could continue to move forward even before we hit that 2023 mark. But this is a four-year position. So, you know, whoever's on elected this time around is still going to be there 2023 and will hopefully be a part of that process, which I think is really important to be a part of as a planning board member to bring that perspective and that experience to the table as well. I think those were multiple actions, but
yeah, you covered a lot there, and it was a wide open question to that point to give you that opportunity to do so. And again, those first five questions is a refresh for the listeners, effectively all the candidates are getting. And then particularly in this one, you get the chance to what experience or background will help you serve in this role? Or another way to phrase it is, what do you bring to the table that will set you apart from the other candidates for the planning board?
Well, in terms of experience professionally and as a volunteer, I'm an architect. I'm a registered architect. I understand all the technicalities that go into the planning board. It's a position that requires, I think, a lot of knowledge about site plans and, you know, building plans and regulations and zoning bylaws and amendments. And having that professional expertise as an architect with a lot of a planning background as an architect, and sitting on the other side of the table sometimes in other cities, really helps to just be educated and understand what's being put forth at every single meeting. I don't think it's wise to make decisions about something that you don't understand what you're looking at. So just having that expertise as a professional, first and foremost, is key. The other thing is I'm an associate member currently. So I have had experience on the planning board for over a year now, which has been invaluable in understanding how the planning board really operates on a daily and weekly, monthly basis. I understand the commitment involved I have been at, I think, every meeting I've made except maybe one. And however, currently I can't vote, right? So my goal is to become a voting member, because I see through being an associate member on the planning board how important that vote is in order to be able to have an impact on decisions that are made. Yes, I can voice my opinion, but I want the ability to vote and actually be a part of that decision-making process. And then, you know, what sets me apart really is I just, on top of all of that, I bring a unique perspective to the table. I'm a mother of young children. I care deeply about the future of this town and where it's headed for not only families, current families, but for future residents who hopefully choose Franklin as their home, for an increasingly large demographic of an aging population that has a lot of needs. And I believe that being a part of the planning board is essential to really forming or shaping what our community looks like physically over the next, you know, 10, 20 plus years, because the decisions that are made today around development and open space and so on and so forth, they're not temporary decisions. And so understanding the magnitude of what that means as a member of the planning board, you know, I don't take that lightly. I think it's a tremendous responsibility and an opportunity. And I would represent, you know, a large group of our residents who currently don't have a voice, I think, as a member of the planning board. And I have no conflicts of interest. The only property I'm jumping ahead here, but the only property I own in town is my own home. So I can make unbiased decisions along the way.
Thank you for that. And if let me deviate a little bit from the question set to the extent that I have the opportunity, you're an associate and you referenced something at least jiggers the question in my mind. I thought, and I don't pay attention that much to the planning board, I just don't have the time to spend doing that since I'm already following the money on the FinCom, school committee, town council. That's my choice. But I thought the associate role was so that if a planning board member did step aside because of a potential conflict of interest, the associate would step in and then vote in that case. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. So yes, I should clarify. So I can vote if another member has to recuse themselves or, you know, is not present for whatever reason. I can then step in and vote if it's a voting meeting.
Correct. But otherwise, associate doesn't get the vote.
Correct.
Okay. No, thanks for that clarification. I wanted to make sure that people at least understood it as well. I appreciate the clarification opportunity. So yeah, getting into the last of the questions, and this one focused specifically on the planning board, and you did pre-do it, but that's okay. We'll give you a chance to reinforce it. What, if any, conflicts of interest do you see for yourself with upcoming planning board issues, or would any of the prior decisions of the planning board have posed a potential conflict?
I don't see any conflict of interest, or can't imagine any. Like I said, I don't work in town. The only property I own is my house. I provide a completely unbiased opinion and have no ulterior motives or financial incentives. I think it's important to point out that, you know, with the planning board, members can recuse themselves from projects that are conflicts of interest. And that happens quite a bit, actually, which I think is unfortunate just because of inconsistency and I could go on and on about that, but I think that's unfortunate. But that aside, you know, planning board members are weighing in on proposed changes to zoning bylaws and, you know, other regulations and things like the housing production plan that their vote, they don't have to recuse themselves from that. You know, their vote on that is potentially a huge conflict of interest because they're making decisions on policies and regulations that affect his or herself as a developer, as a person who owns a ton of property in town, as a general contractor. So I think it's important to realize that it's a lot more than just having the ability to recuse yourself from individual projects. There's really a broader reach here as a member of the planning board. So certainly I don't have any conflicts of interest. I don't think any prior decisions of the planning board have posed any conflicts. And I'm really confident in that. So I hope we end up with a board that has less conflict of interest and does not have to recuse themselves from any projects being put forth for the town.
Yeah, that probably would be a good thing. Yes, that certainly has been one of the major conversations around the streets, so to speak. Thank you for taking time on this. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to add to have the voters consider for you?
Just vote. Get out there and vote. All the extra links you're going to provide, but I think the number one thing is to understand that your vote in a town election is borderline more important than your vote in a, you know, general election for the president of our country. Because like I said, these people the people you elect are making the decisions that impact you daily. So vote. That's what I got. Thank you for your time. This has been great.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.